In our breakout and best-selling book, Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, Dr. Scott Guerin and I share how you can communicate with angels, understand signs from the universe and these celestial beings, feel at peace knowing you are always connected to Source, and much more. Get your copy today at lookingforangelsbook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. And now you can even get the audio version narrated by me and Scott through Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. I'm your host, Nicole Bigley, and you are listening to a listener series on A Psychic Story. Hi, everyone. If this is your first episode of A Psychic Story, welcome. If you've been here before, welcome back. This is our 9th episode of the listener episode where we share stories you submitted. And before we get into this very special episode, Scott and I are actually in studio together for the first time. It's not virtual. And this episode's about our spirit team collectively. We have some updates for you.
Yes, and it is kind of neat to be in the same studio together as opposed to our normal 600-mile distance between us, although that does come in handy sometimes, I think. But yes, we're only a couple days into the launch of our book, Looking for Angels, and it was number one new release in New Age Channeling, Angels and Spirit Guides and Angels, both in paperback and Kindle. So really happy about that, and thank you. For those people who ordered them, certainly as you get through them, we'd appreciate your honest review so that you can help guide others to the book also.
And it was also a bestseller in Kindle.
Yes, it was a bestseller also in Angels.
Kindle.
On mm-hmm. Kindle, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes, yes.
Only a few days in.
Yeah. And we had a great time at the Mind, Body, Spirit Victory of Light event in Cincinnati a few weeks ago. And I told Nicole, it was one of the best 2 days of my life because this work for me is very meaningful. And I've certainly had jobs, I've had successes and all that stuff. But this subject for me is very heartfelt, very passionate. And it was just so great to get up there. We had a talk where the room was packed, standing room only. We had a constant stream of people to the booth asking about the book, asking about the podcast. And for me, I mean, you're used to this, you know, celebrity as you are.
Oh, thank you. I don't consider myself that at all, but yeah, thanks.
But people come up to me and they say, I was just across the aisle and I heard of that voice. And I said to my friend, I know that voice. Where's that voice from? And they came over. And so it was a good external validation. I know you said, you know, don't I tell you you're doing a good job at times? And I go, well, yes, you do. But when other people come up, it's just a little different. And I so greatly appreciate to be able to hear from those of you who gain something from the podcast, from the book, as you read it. So great. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah. I want to ask you a little bit. You said some of the best days of your life. I know you received that validation and you're in gratitude from it, but what specifically?
Well, because it kind of solidifies my purpose in life. I mean, I've talked to you and I think I mentioned on the podcast a few times that, you know, I feel like the purpose in life for me in this life, on this time, is for me to be a spiritual seeker and teacher and leader of some sorts. And so to get that response, and as I said, externally validated.
No, you're helping others.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
It's very rewarding.
Yes. I mean, what else is there? I mean, you could go and make money And that's great, and it's needed. Certainly it does
help. You need it to live and to eat and all those things. Yes.
But to have something, at least for me, so personally held since I was 13, you know, starting my journey, and to share it with people, and then to hear people kind of come back saying, yes, that's just where I needed to hear. Or we listen to the podcast because, you know, we're going through certain things in our lives or we want to learn specific things. So that, in addition to the book, it's just great. I can't think of anything better.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. And I just want to say thank you to everyone for stopping by. We had people coming in from Wisconsin, from Michigan, from Indiana, which isn't that far from Ohio, Kentucky, all that, countless other states. And just being in the car and having, you know, been driving 8 or 10 hours and then staying the weekend because they couldn't get in to see me in sessions and then staying another night just meant so much because it, to your point about touching people's lives and helping them. So I just want to say not only thank you to the listeners out there, but for the people who swung by and stopped and said hello, whether it was just to say hi, get the book, but also the session. I truly loved meeting each and every one of you. And thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. In addition to that, we do have some questions related to the book. And I know we've put this, whether it's on the website and also on the social media captions and stuff, but ultimately there are some commonly asked questions that we receive about the book. And I just want to make sure that we're addressing those. The first number one, I feel like people ask us is, what about audio? So what about audio, Scott?
Yes. Well, so the audiobook is available. You can find it in Audible or on the Amazon site. Along with the other formats of the book. So, you know, feel free to check that out. It was our first audiobook, and we had a little bit of coaching. It is a shout out to Emily Lawrence.
You had the coaching.
Yes,
I didn't.
I passed along some things. But
did pass it along to me, yes.
And she helped us with some basics of audiobook narration. But it was a lot of fun, and we hope that you enjoy that.
Yeah, that was another commonly asked question is, who's doing the narration? We are,
yes.
Or we did actually, myself for my portion and Scott for his.
Yeah.
So
yeah, lots of fun.
Yeah, and then another question about the audio. I think that there have been, actually not audio, sorry, but rather the other versions are Kindle in particular. So people have been asking us about Kindle. They've been having some quote unquote issues.
Yes, in some markets, meaning some countries, Kindle does not... They do varying jobs, you know, from market to market. In the U.S., it's very robust. They have many devices that they service and provide their ebooks on. Other countries are quite a bit less. So when people call and certainly send in your issues or whatever, if you're having the common issue is this book is not available on your device. So we will try and investigate to see if Kindle supports that device in your country. We've found that some older devices aren't supported by Kindle, but we have done as much as we can to follow all the standard operating procedures for Kindle to format this ebook to reach as many people and as many devices as possible. So certainly send in your questions and we'll do the best we can, but unfortunately, some things may not be in our control.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we can also work something out about the e-book itself and maybe getting that file instead. We certainly would hope that you would be able to use it on your Kindle, though, and cross that bridge when it comes to it. Now, what about hardcover? Is hardcover available?
Oh, hardcover. I know.
I feel like we've been saying it, that, you know, paperback, hardcover, that's all available, but people still ask us. So
yes,
hardcover is available.
Hardcover is available on Amazon, but also available through your bookstores worldwide. That's the one thing. Amazon can reach people certainly who are on the internet and can order online. And we have that ability for the hardcover, but the paperback and the hardcover are also available through your favorite bookstore. And that means the big ones like Barnes & Noble. I even saw it on Walmart the other day. So it is around and available. So we're pleased to do that. And it's my favorite. I mean, you're the same. Mm-hmm. Like you were like, gushing over it when I saw, and I said, I know you're going to love this. And it's just such a cool
thing.
Yeah,
and then he sold it, guys. He gave away the one hard copy we had, or the hardcover we had. No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad we sold a book. So that's great. But also, you mentioned ordering outside the U.S. on Amazon is probably the best, but there have been some people in UK and Australia that were having some challenges ordering on Amazon. Do you think it was just because it wasn't quite available then? But it is available outside the U.S.
I had one woman email me from Australia saying she didn't see it on Amazon, or when she did see it, it was out of stock. So I was able to send her the Australian Amazon link.
Because they may be,
worked.
I think they may be clicking when we say order here. It might be our US Amazon.
Maybe. That's
so,
a good point.
So if you're site. If you're clicking on anything on our end and you can't find it because you're in another country, just try going on to Amazon UK or Amazon Australia or your thing. Because our links are, honestly, I didn't think about that just until
that's
now.
A good point.
It's
yeah.
probably just directing
the
to
link
the US.
On our lookingforangelsbook.com might be just directing towards US.
So. Okay. So it is available outside the US. Mm-hmm. Also, people were asking about signed copies or gift box shipping outside the U.S. On our website, we have it that shipping's not available outside the U.S. That's primarily so that we don't have to worry about it. But if you're absolutely passionate and you want it, you can email the lookingforangelsbook@gmail.com and you can request it. And then Scott will provide you with an estimated shipping cost. And if you do want to pay that estimated shipping cost, we would love to be able to send you a signed copy. But
it's a little pricey, but
Some people want to pay it. And again, I'm thankful for those people that want that.
You can, I'll give you the information and you can decide.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a cool gift box, and we're getting a lot of orders for that. So.
Well, we're talking about the signed copies, but then we're also talking about the gift box, too.
Right.
So really quickly, do you want to talk about the gift box?
Yeah. So the gift box that we put together contains a signed copy of the book. It contains a meditation candle with a label on that attributing to Archangel Michael. It has a matchbooks. It has a bag with two crystals in it, angelite crystal and
angel aura quartz crystal,
with a detailed explanation of what those particular crystals are, what they do, and how to use them. And then in addition, we have some stickers and also a curated playlist from, I forget the DJ's
Megan
name.
Taylor.
Megan Taylor, that is available on Spotify. So lots of things in there, and it comes in a nice gift box. So
it also comes with a prayer card with Archangel Michael to go with the candle.
Yes.
So it's a beautiful gift box. It's limited time only, but we wanted to do that mainly for PR purposes. But then we thought some of you have been asking about it, so we're making it available for you. So get it while you can.
Yeah, and it's, you really need to do it right away if you want it before the holidays. So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, happy to help as best we can to get one to you.
I don't think there are any other questions, commonly asked questions, but if there are, you guys know how to reach us. And I think now we're going to go into the stories that people have submitted. So again, this episode is about our spirit team, and I'm going to take the first one. And this email is from Samantha M. with the subject, Missing Teddy. I am a committed listener to your podcast, and I thought I might share one of my many experiences. I had been having a pretty traumatic time of things. My baby son was in and out of hospital for months at a time with what felt like never-ending surgeries, and currently we were at a point where we weren't sure what would work for him. One afternoon recently, I became overwhelmed with trauma and I just broke down sobbing. I kept asking my grandmother, who passed away 15 years ago, to come to me, to offer me her wisdom and guidance. After a few minutes, I gathered myself together and continued on with my housework when I heard my 4-year-old daughter call up the stairs, "Mom, I found your teddy." What is so significant about the teddy is that it was one of the last things that my grandmother bought for me. It has a crystal angel pin on it, and one of the days that I was away in the hospital with my son, my daughter had lost it. When I came home, I was devastated, as it had always sat on my shelf in my bedroom. We pulled the house apart, searching for it, pushed sofas out, looked under furniture and inside storage units even. I asked my daughter where she found it and if she could show me. She pointed to exactly where she found it. It had been on the floor beside the sofa in an area that I had searched numerous times in the days before it was lost. I nearly feel like this was a significant sign that maybe the teddy bear had to be lost so that my grandmother could reassure me that she is with me during the hardest of times by it reappearing at the exact time that I called on her for guidance. Thank you for your amazing show and giving me the opportunity to share my experience with you. Well, thank you so much, Samantha, for submitting that story. We've talked about it before on the show that sometimes our loved ones on the other side will actually do physical manifestations of things, whether they're coins or their feathers or the lost necklace that we had, lucky, within the other episode a while back. And when our loved ones see us in times and we call on them and need them, they're going to find ways to get our attention, but also to find ways that are significant or meaningful for us to just give us that reassurance. And so I love that. And I think sometimes the physical, and I'm getting chills as I say this, is almost even more important because it helps further validate. Yes, you may say that that was a coincidence, but at the end of the day, that it's so real because there's a physical experience with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the two things that stuck out to me was that she found it in an area beside the sofa, in an area that I'd searched numerous times. It's not like I found the teddy, it fell behind the drawer, you know, the bookcase, and now it's here. It was something that she specifically looked at, and then now it appeared. So that kind of shows the substantive nature of the
event. It wasn't like under the carpet.
Right,
or
right. And then the other thing is, and I thought it was a great insight, was that maybe the teddy bear had to be lost so that my grandmother could reassure me, you know. And like, so it wasn't just
that,
frustrating, like, where is it, you know, and the grandmother, you know, gave them that sign, but it had to be lost first. And like, so many times in our lives we get frustrated about things because, you know, they're not going our way. And there could be a very positive reason for that, but we have to keep an open mind and maybe look at the situation a little differently.
Mm-hmm. My first thought at first when I listened to or read this just now, actually, because I didn't have very much time to prepare for this episode. We read the episodes, but we try not to script them, obviously. But is that her daughter was like, oh, shoot, here it is, and then just dropped it on the floor. Mm-hmm. So I tuned in, and I don't think that was the case at all because Samantha was going through a hard time. She asked her grandmother for this sign or to give her reassurance. Mm-hmm. To your point, there was this, it needed to be lost to be found. And I literally just kind of saw it reappearing. So anyway, for those skeptics out there, believe me or not, but I believe it was real.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. Well, thank you again, Samantha.
Okay. So this next story is from Stacy T with the subject run. This was probably 10 years ago when I used to train for marathons. I was out for a run one night and I ended up a little longer than I expected. It was getting dark and I wasn't dressed for that, so I wasn't visible as I would have been as I prepared for a night run. Then it started to rain. As I was heading back towards home and was crossing a street, there was a car turning. Honestly, I can't remember the logistics of exactly where the car came from. It wasn't visible to me at first, as there was a lot of parked cars on the street. But the car came out of nowhere for me as much as I did for the driver. There's no time for him to really stop. It's funny how a split second slows down so much. The amount of thoughts that go through your head are so fast. As the car came at me, I knew I'd be hit. I braced for the car to hit my legs. It was a smaller car. I thought, this is gonna be hurt, but I should be okay, just broken legs. There was no way to avoid it. Then I heard a voice as clear as day and loud, a man's voice. It said, run, you're already running, just run faster. I only heard the word run, but just knew that the rest was true. Run faster and I would make it. I ran faster, likely faster than I ever had, and I didn't even have a scratch. The driver did what he could do to stop, but he never would have been able to stop in time. That voice saved me. 10 years later, the voice and thoughts in my head are as clear as they were that day. I knew that it was something that was watching down on me that saved me. It wasn't until recently that I began working on my spiritual journey and listening to your podcast that I know without a doubt it was one of my angels. And my gut tells me it's Michael. Thank you for listening to my story.
They will certainly do that. They will yell and scream to get our attention.
Yes.
again, if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you know my story about hearing a voice, and that was really to save my sister. So I'm not going to rehash it, but it's kind of creepy and amazing at the same time when you hear that voice, because it's everywhere and nowhere at once. It's all around you. It's not inside your head like you're hearing voices. You just hear it. And it's with such urgency and so loud that you have no choice but to pay attention. And especially given the fact that she was going through that situation, it was almost kind of, you know, I'm getting in my head, freeze. She was probably like about to stop running because she was just bracing forward or expecting that to happen. And so absolutely, I'm getting that was Michael, and just gave her that push that she needed to run faster.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was thinking about the time slowing down thing, because that is a thing in neuropsychology that, you know, the brain in certain situations slows down. I had an episode this summer. I was in, out boating with some friends, and there was a 40-foot cliff off the side of the lake, and I wanted to jump off it, and nobody else wanted to do it, but I thought, I want to do this. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. So I climbed up, and a couple of my friends came over on paddle boards to just watch and make sure I was okay. And at the bottom, where I entered the water, there were rocks, but the water was crystal clear, and the rocks were probably 12 feet down. And we all thought beforehand, because you checked it out, you know, I'll be safe. So but beyond those rocks is hundreds of feet of water. So I'm like, I'm going to jump over the rocks and go into the deeper part. So as I jump,
I don't feel like that's a very good idea. But anyway, at least you're here. We know you survived. So
as I jump, my foot slipped on some loose stones at the top, and I didn't get the projection that I wanted. So as I'm going down, I'm heading. I said to myself, I guess I'm going right onto the rocks. And I thought, well, but if I do, I'll probably just jam up my legs, and thank God Steve's out there. and same thing, like these three or four, you know, very fast things. And
it slows down.
Yeah, it slows down. And you think all these thoughts within those few seconds. And I landed and it was fine.
Clearly, you're here. I'm so happy.
but it's just funny how that is. But it is a psychological thing to have that down. But certainly in this case, the voice, the added voice, was the intervention.
You know, it gave her that push that she needed, and that sense of urgency. Not that she didn't have urgency before, knowing that this was going to happen, but it did save her.
And in our study, asking people what types of interventions they experienced.
The angel study, you mean?
Yes.
For people that don't know.
Okay, yes. We did a study on angels and, you know, do you believe in angels? Yes or no? Those that said yes, we asked what type, or did you have an intervention? And then what type of intervention? And out of the 700 responses, this was the second one. Mm-hmm. You know, the sense of urgency to stop, change your direction, do something else. Mm-hmm. So it's very common and certainly very needed at times.
All right. Well, now we're going to move into the voicemails and the audio that you guys submitted and shared with us. And this next story is a voicemail from Branson M., a friend of a psychic story. So thank you, Branson, for always submitting your stories. We love them. And this one is titled Mischievous Little Fairies. And we're going to play that now.
Hello, Nicole and Scott. This is Branson. Sorry. I have another cool story to tell you today. I like to call this one Mischievous Little Fairies. So basically, it starts out as me and my partner finding out that fairies were real. This is very early on in our spiritual journey, where we were devouring everything that resonated and trying everything out. And so when we found out fairies were real, we had to try to connect with them. So that's what we did. We spent time in nature. We were talking to trees and animals and just, you know, just having a field day. I left them offerings as well, like milk and honey. And we really connected with them. Of course, you know, this had to end because we work full-time jobs in nursing and we just, you know, life gets really busy. And so we didn't really mean to offend the fairies, but clearly we did. So after we stopped hanging out with the fairies as much, things started happening. The most notable thing was, that's what the story is about. So basically, my partner he loves jewelry. And so he had two gold chains that were pretty pricey, and they basically just went missing. They went missing, and we searched high and low. We literally looked everywhere. They were nowhere to be found, nowhere. And I'm pretty organized, so I knew where everything was. place in the house that we lived in. I couldn't find them anywhere. And so, like, months went on. Like, I want to say, like, 5 to 6 months went on, and we basically stopped looking for them. We didn't blame the fairies. At this point, we thought somebody had came into the house that was in our life at the time and took them. So, you know, we just didn't know, and we just stopped looking. And so time goes on, and we are planning a trip for Arizona. And so we buy new clothes and everything you do for vacation. And so I remember packing that night, and I took the, we bought some new clothes, like I said, and I folded them up and placed them into the suitcase with the tags on them. And so we go to the airport, we fly to Arizona, we get there, we stay, I think, a week or two, but we don't wear everything that we bought. And so I leave it inside the suitcase with the tag still on, and then the trip's over and we fly back and get home. I want to say like 1 or 2 days later, I start unpacking the suitcase and I start with the clothes that we didn't wear. And I promise you, they were folded the way they were in the suitcase. Everything was still intact, the tags. I take them out of the suitcase, the shirt out of the suitcase, and I shake it, and the chains fall out. The gold chains that we've been looking for a month fall out of the brand new shirt that I had just bought. But not only did they fall out of the shirt, I picked them up, and they were kind of twined together, almost as if the wind twisted the chains together, not hard. And I look, and they are in better shape than they've ever been. The gold is sparkling. The energy feels different. And I knew right away it was the fairies. So, of course, I call my partner, tell him. He doesn't believe me. He comes home, and I tell him the story again. And he starts believing me after that. But, yeah, that's what happened. They came back brand new and clean. And we thank the fairies for returning them. And that's pretty much all that happened. It was just a really cool experience. I hope you guys like my story. I will talk to you later.
Well, I love that for so many reasons. But first, Branson, I have to say I'm impressed that you were unpacking a day or two after your trip, because I usually don't unpack until weeks later after the fact, usually because I've got to pack and go again. So anyway, that's that. But so as far as fairies go, I don't know a ton about them. Scott, you were mentioning, oh, I'm going to ask you about fairies. And yes. I was like, I'm not an expert. But what I do know is, yes, you are. They love honey. They love milk. You provide offerings. They are mischievous. So if you decide to do that and communicate with them, it's like a long-term relationship. You're supposed to keep it. And they do get, you know, miffed if you just kind of back out of it. But yeah, no, I think I truly believe they're real. The way it's been described to me, both from my spirit team, but also limited research I've done or reading about them, is that they're more guardian angels or angels for nature. So for the trees, they're essentially, guardian angels for nature. And other people refer to them as elementals. I'd love to have someone on the podcast to actually talk more about the fae in detail and share more who is an expert, but that's a side note. But yeah, what do you think about the story? Yeah. What stuck out to you?
Yeah, in developing the first part of the book, I just make a reference to fairies, because when you start looking into them, there's like so many avenues of like what they are. And the three categories that came to mind when I was doing my research was, some people believe they were precursors to humans. Mm-hmm. Some people believe they're demoted angels or demons, which I wondered, like, a demoted angel, but a demoted demon, like, wow.
Yeah.
What did you do? And then
it's a cockroach.
in some pagan religions, they are deities. You know, so it was all over the place, and that's why I didn't really want to go down that rabbit hole with that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the consistent definition is mischief.
Mm-hmm. They can be very mischievous. Yeah, yeah. I love that story. So thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, thank you, Branson. Okay, and this next voicemail message is from Amber R. with the title "Beings of Love."
Hi, my name is Amber, and I am from Denver, Colorado. I have an angel story to share. I love the podcast, by the way. I've literally listened to every episode, maybe a few of them a couple of times. So for my angel story, I was either 14 or 15. I can't remember exactly the age, but my older sister and I were home by ourselves. I was about, 14 or 15. I'm not sure if I already said that. And we were watching, that was like, 1994 or 5, and we were watching Rescue 911. which was on at the time. And there was some, all I remember is that it was a scary episode and my sister and I got creeped out by our, like something happened in our backyard and we creeped ourselves out and ran upstairs to my room. And I just remember being like scared. We also had our cat Katrina with us. And my sister and I were upstairs talking on the bed. And then basically time, it kind of seemed like time stopped or paused for a second. And over in the corner of my room, I'm going to say three beings, but they were beings that I could sense, but I couldn't see, were basically what I saw was like threads of light coming from the corner of my room, but I didn't, like, I saw it, but I didn't see it with my eyes. And an indescribable love, comfort, peace feeling of being unconditionally loved came over me. Like, I've listened to a lot of these types of stories and the E stories, and basically when they say that they can't describe the feeling, like there aren't words in the English language for the feeling, that is what I felt. Just the best feeling I've ever felt came over me, and tears were streaming down my face. And I mean, seriously, it was probably about five seconds long. And then it stopped. And I looked over at my sister, who was petting the cat, and basically told her what had just happened. And she was like, yeah, I knew something was happening, but I don't know what do you do when somebody's having a, you know, divine visitation. And that's my story. What's interesting about it is that I have, number one, it hasn't faded. The memory of it hasn't faded, but more recently when the memory came back to me, but I didn't remember, I'm 42 years old now, and this was about when I was, you know, what did I say, 13, 14, 15, I don't know exactly when, but I didn't remember it until about 4 years ago, and then it kind of just came back into my memory, and so that was really interesting, but that's my story.
That is cool. Thank you so much, Amber, for sharing that. And for me, and I don't know why, I say this all the time, I'm so moved by these experiences that are just feelings, you know? And I think I mentioned to you, like, if I see anything 12 foot tall in my bedroom at night, it's going to freak me out. But, you know, maybe not. I don't know. But it's these experiences, and there's been a couple other episodes where the person just experienced the feeling of love, unconditional love, for a few seconds, and it transformed them, you know. And then for Amber, it validated, you know, her belief in God, and it brought through the peace that she was so needing, you know. So that was my thought. How about you?
Well, for me, when she said that they were watching, I forget the show, but they had, you know, first of all, you need to be careful what you watch, whether it's horror movies, horror shows, you listen to true crime. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying that whatever, it's essentially you're consuming whatever that vibration frequency is. And you may not, especially when you're younger, realize that that's what's happening. But aside from that, it sounds like that was kind of the catalyst for however they were feeling. And those beings of love, so to speak, or guardian angels kind of came in to give her that overwhelming feeling of love so that it helped her just not be in that fear state, I guess. She didn't use the word fear, but right. She said, you know, she didn't really talk about what state of mind they were in, but it sounds like it kind of shook them a little bit.
Yeah.
And then that was they were able to give her that experience of that divine love. But I also, she said she didn't remember it until about 4 years ago. Mm. And that's interesting. So I would just, you know, suggest that maybe she thinks about what was happening at that time in her life. It could have been that she was tapping more into her intuition and or going through a spiritual awakening and that opened it up. It could have been where she needed to be reminded. She was going through something in her life that She has that connection. She has her spirit team is on her side and so forth. So as far as that transformation, it sounds like she didn't remember it until recently, She's going to your point about transformation. It transfixed her and got her to where she is now. And so I really appreciate her sharing that story. But the feeling can be overwhelming. I only remember a few times that happened, and primarily before I came here to Earth, where it was just that overwhelming feeling of love and peace and interconnectedness. And it's you can't put it into words. Mm-hmm. It just, the human words don't exist for how amazing it feels.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. So this voicemail is from Karina, and her story is about a guardian angel. So let's take a listen.
Hi, I'm Karina from New York, and I believe I have a guardian angel story. So I was maybe 16, 17. I was staying in a cabin with my family. I was sleeping on honestly thinner than a twin mattress, like width-wise. And in the morning, I was in a half-awake, half-asleep state, and I suddenly hear a voice in my head that is not my own, thought voice. And it says, "I'm sorry, but I have to wake you up now." I wake up just naturally. I don't jump out of bed awake. I just wake up slowly. And I find myself on the edge of the bed, on the very edge. If I had fallen out of the bed, I would have hit my head pretty hard on the side table. So I scoot myself back into the center of the bed, close my eyes to go back to sleep. But then I remember that thought voice that was not my own thought voice, and my eyes burst open, and I was like, "What the hell was that?" In my head, that's what I thought. And I just laid there in shock, and I could not figure out what it was. I tried to ask it questions in my head, "Hello, who are you?" Got nothing. Man, it just blew my mind. "I'm sorry, but I have to wake you up now." Just crazy. So it feels like it was a guardian angel, my guardian angel. Maybe my higher self, I'm not really sure. But I thought that was really cool.
Another voice.
Yes.
I love how she used thought voice. I've actually never heard that before.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good way
to
explain it, yeah.
Yeah, it's different. Again, I don't know how she heard it, but usually it's outside of you. It's everywhere. It's hard to say in this instance because she was asleep, but it woke her up. You could even say maybe you were in the midst of a dream state, but the fact that she woke up and then she was on the edge and was about to have that, I would say absolutely it was a guardian angel. What are your thoughts?
Well, I was surprised at how kind it was. wake up, you're going to fall.
I'm sorry, I have to wake you up now. Yeah.
And then the other thing was, and we're talking about this over the weekend at the Mind, Body, Spirit, was the difference between guardian angels and other angels. And the guardian angels we've already contracted with to help us out in times of need. And so this is a perfect example of that. Something could have happened if she fell off the bed, so the guardian angel intervened. So it was such a great, Karina, thank you so much. It was such a great, sweet story of how gentle our spirit team can be.
Mm-hmm.
So our final voicemail for today is from Rose, who shares several ways in which her stepmother sent her signs of love and support.
Hi there, my name's Rose and I live in New England. I am calling to share several stories where messages from spirit have come through, specifically from my stepmom, who died very young from cancer. When she got sick in 2011, this marked the acceleration of my spiritual awakening, and her messages have strengthened my faith and connection with spirit. Before she passed, my aunt shared with our family the story of the dragonfly. A Cliff Notes version of the story shares about the life cycle of the dragonfly and how they evolve. The water bug climbs up the stalk out of the water, and all their friends worry and wonder where their friend has gone and if they'll ever see them again. And one of the water bugs promises to let them know what happens when they reach the top, so they'll all finally know. It transforms into a dragonfly, and then the dragonfly realizes, "I can't let them know that I'm okay, but I have wings and I'm fine." Christy said that she'd come back as a dragonfly to let us know she was okay. And when I was pregnant, we moved into a new home, and there were dragonflies everywhere on the property, often landing on our windows. I wasn't sure if this was something that happened every year or not, and it turns out it wasn't. The night I would give birth, I asked for Christy's support as I was going in for surgery. Everything went well. I gave birth to a healthy, happy baby. And my dad came to visit our newborn, and my husband nudged me. A dragonfly was on our sliding glass door, peering in at my dad's, at my dad holding our newborn. It was Christy, coming to see him and us as well. Later that year, I was outside with our baby, and a dragonfly landed on him, staying for some time, and he allowed it. A while later, I had drove up to meet my grandmother and help her unpack for vacation. My phone in my back pocket suddenly started playing the song, People Get Old, by her cousin Lori McKenna. I told my grandmother, and she smiled, saying Christy was thanking me for helping her old mom out. I drove Christy's car for many years after she passed, over a decade of having it, feeling safe and protected in it. She hung a crystal around her rearview mirror that ever since I was little, I was enamored by. I don't drive far to work, and it's a smooth ride to wherever I need to be. And one day, I realized the crystal had wrapped itself around the mirror, and I laughed, how strange. And when it happened again, I got chills. Now this felt like more than just a strange thing to happen. It felt like spirit. Christy's car started to show signs of aging, and as a mom, I didn't want to worry about being stranded one night in the snow. It was time for a new car, and I felt sad and unsure how Christy would feel about it. I went to a car dealership to take a look at some new cars and saw one I liked, but it felt way out of my league. But I liked it a lot, and every single picture they had of it on the website, light code streamed across it, which are beams of light coming across each photo. And this often happens around my son when I take pictures of him. It was quite significant to me. That day in broad daylight, as the salesman was bringing the car around, a red fox walked past us in the lot, stunning everyone. When I got back to the salesman desk, he had a red Carfax fox at his desk. I felt a yes in my body for this car. Later that night, driving home in the dark, another red fox appeared, running in front of my car and then onto the grass near my house and disappearing into the night. I was stunned. I haven't seen a red fox since. I was cleaning out Christy's car as I go pick up the new one that Monday. I felt sad and hoped she would be okay with it. And then a Billy Joel song came on that always makes me think of her because she'd play his cassette tape in her car. Another sign and hello. I go to meet her mom and sisters for my birthday celebration that same weekend, and it's also the last day with her car. I parked and met up with them. When I got back in my car, the crystal is wrapped around my mirror again. I picked up my new car and placed the crystal around the mirror, feeling her support in the change. That November, on her birthday, my son and I held the crystal in our hands and said, "Happy birthday, Christy." The next morning, it was wrapped around the mirror again. My eyes welled up with grateful tears. No matter how often these contacts happen, I'm always floored by the magical nature of it, in complete wonder and appreciation. Recently, a friend invited me to a psychic fair, and I said, sure. We both signed up for readings. She got an energy reading, and I signed up to meet with a medium at 2 p.m. We went out to lunch, and we got lost in conversation. I knew I needed to leave soon to make the reading. My friend asked if I thought Christy would come through. I shrugged. I don't know. It's just for fun. I don't have an intention or any specific thing I want to ask. I suddenly got a phone call from the location the psychic fair was held. It was not from the people at the fair, I checked, and I couldn't find that number on Google anywhere, and they didn't leave a voicemail. But I felt deep down it was Christy calling me and telling me, go, you're going to be late, just like me, to be the last minute and her to give me a push out the door. I made it just in time. The medium looked so much like her mom, and Christy, of course, came through, and I sobbed almost the whole 15 minutes. I didn't know just how much I needed that. After the reading, I sat beneath a tree to integrate and settle. I looked down at my phone, 2:22 p.m. A dragonfly flew by me. I looked up and a sign said pigs, Christy's favorite animal. On my drive back home, song after song was sending me message after message, songs like Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Think of the movie Stepmom to give some context. Each song that played kept bringing in more and more messages, surrounded in love. I can't remember each title of them now. I went to a local shop to find a face mask, and I was drawn to something pink on top of a shirt. It was tucked away under a shelf. I picked it up, and it was a pig. It was made by Jellycat, a brand I recently bought for my son without knowing anything about it. I instantly felt like this was a gift for my son from Christy. When I finally arrived back home, sobbing half of the day, happy and sad tears all mixed together, I sat outside with my cat, basking in the sun and in nature. And then a dragonfly landed on my hand. I didn't know just how much I needed all of this. I felt so close to her and thanked her for never truly having left me.
Sending my love to all those who have lost loved ones. Here's to knowing they are never far and always sending us messages if we stay open to receiving them. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you so much, Rose, for sharing that. And it's just amazing how many inputs your stepmom sent you, Christy, over such short amount of time. It's overwhelming, you know, it must have been.
It's like she's just giving you a big hug one after the next, after the next, after the next, after the next. I mean, yeah, I don't really know what to say. I'm kind of speechless a little bit because it's just so many. But I think for me, the pull through is that Dragonflies was something that was already kind of agreed upon, and that they showed up in such a wonderful, momentous way in the beginning, also during the birth, and how that kind of came through the phone call. I mean, you know how I am with tech. Tech always, good, bad, or indifferent in between tech with me. So when you get that, I mean, you could chalk it up to a spammer or whatever else, but at the end of the day, the fact that she also intuitively had that feeling and just that knowing that she needed to go, and just all the things and the synchronicities of it, I think it was really great. And I just keep seeing her like being hugged energetically in such love. With all of those.
Yeah. And the one thing that I kind of gleaned from this as well and started me investigating a little bit more was that a lot of people come to me and they know me. Yeah, they've known me my whole life, or, you know, some over the last couple decades anyway. And they say, you know, you weren't like this before. Like, what made you start, you know, checking this out, you know, the psychic world and this and that.
I was going to say, you weren't like this before. You were. You probably just were not out of the psychic closet for the most part or comfortable with it to some extent.
Yes, that's true. And what I say is that, you know, for me and probably for you too, is that you just start noticing things. Like, you don't have to have some transformative experience or go have a psychic reading and have a beam of light shine down on you. Just start noticing things in your life that normally you would just brush off. You know, it's not, you know, it's just a dragonfly. It's just a lost teddy bear or a gold chain. There are things going on behind the scenes. And that's what I loved about the movie. It's 1999 American Beauty, and it's Kevin Spacey and Annette Bening. And a large plot line of the movie is awakening and seeing things, you know, in the bigger picture. And so that's what kind of drew me to this. And if people are wondering, like, how do I take a first step, put my toe in the water? You just start noticing things in your life. And along that line, I happened to run across some studies. Gallup polls over the years tracked people who report non-ordinary spiritual experiences. And in the U.S. in 1962, the first one done, it revealed 20% of the population had these non-ordinary experiences. But in 2002, it jumped to 41%. And then in 2 years earlier, in Great Britain, they did the same study and found that 60% of British citizens experienced non-ordinary spiritual experiences. So that's part of our whole message about the awakening, that the spirituality is strong and people are becoming open to this. And a lot of it can be just by observing.
You said a lot of keywords there, which I think are important. And that is, one, being open. You need to be open to it.
Yes.
The other is, we talk about a lot awakening. Well, what is awakening? It's you know, put that aside. It's literally about being awake and being conscious. So if you're open, and then you're open to receiving those messages, to seeing things or whatever, and then you're aware, you can assign meanings to anything, you know? Mm-hmm. And I like to say during sessions sometimes, let's say you haven't had a purple car before and you get a certain make and model, and then you've never seen it before on the highway. Mm-hmm. And then you get a purple car and then all of a sudden now you see it everywhere. You're like, I didn't realize there were all these purple cars.
Right.
That is also that you're paying attention, and that could be a, that is a coincidence, and that's what in science and everything it is. But really on the spiritual side of things, it's the same thing, being open and being aware. But we also assign meaning to certain things because we are connected to that energy and that source. And the universe conspires in positive ways to help us to get our attention, to give us those messages and signs. So it's like a light bulb of, aha, this means something to this person.
Right.
So now we're going to bring it more and more into their purview and into their experiences so that we can help them along. That's what I believe.
Well, and it's a slippery slope sometimes because sometimes, as you mentioned, sometimes a butterfly is a butterfly.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, you know, it's something that you have to think about, be introspective and be open. And I think ultimately you know deep inside if it's true or
That's what I mean by it. Yeah, it's like if you see a butterfly and you're like, that doesn't mean anything to me, then it doesn't mean anything to you. But if you feel a certain way or you're having a knowing or you feel like you get a message, have that thought voice, so to speak, whatever it is, and there is that connection to something, then it does have meaning.
Right.
Then it is a message.
Right.
It's all about perspective, how we perceive it, and then how we take that in, and then how we react to it.
Yeah, it's like that woman who came to the booth at Mind, Body, Spirit. How do I know? How do I know? She was like adamant. How
do you
want to
tell that story real quick? a little sidebar.
So we were just at the booth, and this woman came up.
I didn't hear it.
You told me.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She came up and said, I've been, you know, getting these, you know, ideas and voices sometimes, you know, guiding me, and I just don't know who they are. Like, how can I trust them? How
am I crazy?
Yeah. Yes. Right. And she was like almost exasperated. Like, how do I know? How do I know? Oh, and that's when you came in and you said, well, tell her, Scott. How does she know?
Oh, and then you gave me this weird look.
And I said, well, the thing is, you know, there's no way to know. You can't prove any experience, you know, scientifically, obviously, but you have to search your heart. You have to be in a place to be quiet and really assess what's going on to know deep inside. And obviously, if it's got to be all positive, if something is driving you to, you know, harm yourself or others or, you know, that type of thing, then you can be in question. But if it's all good and you feel good about it down to your soul, then it's good. Then it's an angel, it's a spirit, it's someone coming through to give you that message.
And just to kind of share really quickly as we like wrap things up here in this episode, because it will be our last listener episode of the year.
Wow.
So happy 2023, peace out, bring in 2024. Hopefully it brings us all much prosperity, health, and all in love and abundance in all ways, realms and realities. But just to kind of go back a little bit too about kind of attributing signs and just trying to figure out if you know things, you know, it is about trust. It's a lot about trust. And that's really important to know that even people like myself have doubt over times. And it's just the more and more you're in that trust and you're in gratitude, then you continue to receive the messages, you continue to have that validation, you continue to grow on your spiritual journey. And that's what it's all about. You know, we're not always meant to go up like this. You know, sometimes we hit plateaus and sometimes we're kind of like wandering around a little bit with our intuition, but that's just how it works. That's why we're here on earth.
Yes.
All right.
I agree.
So now, folks, the holidays are coming up. As you all know, we're in December, and all we want this year for Christmas, like Mariah Carey says, is really reviews. So please take a moment to rate and review your favorite spiritual podcast. Hopefully that's a psychic story on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else they let you do those sorts of things. A 5-star review and some kind words goes a long way to expand the reach of this program and to get more stories like this. It's kind of the circle of life. The more people see and hear and share, primarily also through reviews, then more people will send us stories. We would love to be able to do this more than once a month as far as the listener episodes go, but it all depends on how many of you send in emails or obviously audio and so forth. And so you can do that by calling the 1-800 number, 1-800-880-1881. If you're outside the US and you want to submit audio and you can't use the 1-800 number, as you guys know, record a voice memo on your phone and email that in to contact@apsychicstory.com. You can also go on the website, and under that, there is a submit story. We've made it super easy on you, so you can share it in any way, shape, or form. We did not do a holiday episode this year. We got one holiday story. One was for Christmas, and then one was for Easter. So feel free to send them throughout the year. We are obviously not going to use them throughout the year, but we're going to use them for special times, whether it's a scary story for Halloween, fun scary stories, guys. We don't want the deep ones. Or again, it's something around the holidays or spiritual awakenings, whatever. Really, there's any topic that you feel like sharing. If there's questions that you have that you want to ask about an experience that you had and you're not sure, we'd love to do more Q&As as well. But yeah, that's my part.
Okay. Well, thank you. And just for the last few weeks in December, I will be at Quadrant Bookmark. Quadrant Bookmart.
I was going to say Bookmart. That's an interesting name for us.
I will be at Quadrant Bookmart and Coffee House. That's at 20 North 3rd Street in Easton, Pennsylvania. That's this weekend, December 9th and 10th, from 9 till 12 each day. It's a very unusual place to be. It's a used bookstore, but they have a ton of business. The vibes out of that place is just wonderful.
So, and now, how far is where you live from New York? I'm not trying to ask you to triangulate, but it's more because I've had some people say, I wish you were doing these things in New York. Is it a quick train ride for people?
I'm on Western New Jersey, so I'm about 50 miles west of New York.
So if you guys in New York who have been asking want to see Scott sooner rather than later, you can go over to Pennsylvania.
Yes, it's worth the trip.
Yes.
It's a lovely, lovely trip. And also, Nicole and I will both be conducting a hybrid event. I'll be in person and Nicole will be remote at the Circles of Wisdom bookstore in Methuen, Massachusetts. So just go to...
A listener corrected us. Are you saying it correctly? I think it's Methane.
M-E-T-H-U-E-N.
Anyway, she corrected me and I tagged you on social and you probably didn't see it. But yeah. So apologies if he mispronounced it again.
Sorry. Go to Circles of Wisdom Bookstore. And Friday, December 15th, is our session. Sign up now and you will hear us there. We will be going through different material than we've been doing. So look forward to seeing you there. So
by the time of this airing, it's going to be December 7th. You're going to have a few more days to purchase the book. Mm-hmm. If you purchase the book in audio, if you purchase it in hardcover, paperback, doesn't matter. Just save your receipt. Email contact@apsychicstory.com with the subject header VIP event. And we will be adding you to that VIP event. So basically, if you purchase the book between November 11th to December 11th, you are guaranteed a free ticket. And that is to a VIP event on January 11th. 11, 11, 11. Got it, guys? and we were going to be talking, answering your questions, pulling out our favorite aspects of the book, doing some exercises, some more to come. But that's going to put you on a separate email list. And we just need, again, you guys to email us contact@apsychicstory.com and put in VIP event and provide the confirmation of however you purchase the book. It could be a screenshot or what have you.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this because by this time, numerous people will have read the book and then we'll get feedback.
Yes.
So, and, you know, and obviously we, you know, there's probably things we can improve maybe in the next edition, if there is a next edition.
I'm sure there will be.
But in any case, we'll hear stories and ways to help guide others and how to best use the book for their personal lives or personal journey.
Yeah. And again, I keep getting in my head, so I just want to make sure I'm saying this. If there's questions you have, like, am I doing it right? Again, you can't really do anything incorrectly by going through the book. But if you're like, I'm stuck or I'm hitting something or this prayer, this meditation really wasn't working for me, what else could I be doing? Right. This is really that time. So it's going to be interactive as well. And we would just love to be able to see you guys virtually and have more of an interactive experience for everybody.
And there will be guest speakers, right?
No. You keep mentioning guest speakers. We're not. We don't have time.
Okay.
And I don't feel like dealing with the technology unless you want to do it.
I might do that. I might take you up on that.
So it's going to be more than an hour long?
Well, I don't know.
Okay. Well, we're going to sidebar this, guys. We're not having guest speakers. Scott wants guest speakers. We'll see who wins. Rock, scissors? All right, here. We'll actually do it because we're videotaped.
Yes.
Okay. So... R. Evan, yes?
All right, Evan, you're going to say 1, 2, 3, and we're going to do 1, 2, 3. And then he's going to be, well, we also have a video, the judge. And yes. We're going to do best out of three.
Okay.
So if you win, okay. We can have speakers.
All right.
If I win,
no speakers.
No speakers. Okay.
All
ready?
Right.
Evan, countdown for us. Oh, wait. I did it wrong. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Do it. Oh, no.
Oh, wait.
Evan, count again.
1, 2, 3.
Okay. No, one. Okay. Ready?
Me one.
Oh,
you. Okay.
Yeah, so what, we each get one because this is the winner. Ready?
1, 2, 3.
Oh, you changed it. You changed it. You cheater.
All right, let's do it. Redo.
Close your eyes. Redo. Close okay. your eyes. Right. I can't trust Scott. Ready?
1, 2, 3.
Oh, you win.
Guest speakers, right,
you
folks.
You get to organize it.
All right.
I'm not doing any of it. Coordinate it, figure out the tech. No.
All right. You can't check out of the
I'm
whole
helping,
thing.
But I'm not doing this. You got to coordinate and arrange all that. All right, guys. So right. Can we close everybody out? They're probably tired of hearing from us.
All right, folks. Until next time, have a very
happy. Yes, next year.
Next
2024.
Year, have a very happy holiday season. Be close to your friends and family. Share your love with them, and we'll see you next year.
Yes. Thank you all.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com. Have a question? Is there a topic you'd like to hear more about? Or have a suggestion for a future guest? Send an email to contact@apsychicstory.com or leave a voicemail message at 1-800-880-1881. We'd love to hear from you, and you may even be featured on a future episode. If you're interested in booking a session with me, you can do that directly on the website. And if you want to hear even more content hosted by yours truly, check out my other show, Supernatural Matters. Reminder that you are automatically entered to win either a free 20-minute intuitive or energy healing session with me if you leave 5 stars along with a positive review. Currently, reviews can be left on Apple, Stitcher, Podchaser, or CastBox podcast players. Don't forget to email contact@apsychicstory.com when you do, because it allows me to get in touch with you if your name is pulled in the drawing. Your name stays in until you win.